Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lap podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Today, we review the Mexican GP, where we saw Lewis Hamilton take his fifth world championship. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Fogel. Hello everyone to episode 113 of the Fastest Lap podcast. It wasn't a huge surprise, but Lewis Hamilton did it. He secured his fifth world title, meaning he's now one in one league with Fangio and Schumacher. Fun fact I read today, Mercedes has not entered a GP without any of these three guys, so Hamilton, Fangio or Schumacher, with any of those guys not driving one of their cars. I mean, amazing fact, and also amazing drivers, especially now Hamilton with his five titles, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think five titles for it's just really a number in my view, because I always, well, for a few years now, I've considered Hamilton one of the best of all time, and I think the five championships, probably on a much wider scale, to a much wider audience, perhaps it puts him in the ranks of some of the greatest of all times. But yeah, in my mind, there's no doubt whatsoever. I mean, five world championships is just, it's mind-boggling. It really is. It's so many, more than I'm sure. Well, you can never predict that a driver is gonna get, you know, that many championships. So yeah, it's amazing for him, amazing for Formula One to have to for us to be witnessing this, because what he's achieved this season has been incredible. Some of his drives have just been absolutely masterful, and I mean, it was quite funny that the race that he won the championship was perhaps one of his worst races of the season. You know, it wasn't really very spectacular at all. But you know, it's not about, you know, no one remembers, oh yeah, he won the championship, but he drove horribly. You know, if we remember just that he won the championship, and you got to say it's absolutely deserved with the season that he's had.
Although last year he also had kind of a difficult race in Mexico when he won the championship, right? Yeah. And I still remember that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know what you are talking about, and I mean, not much to add, really. I agree with everything you said. Great driver, also great teamwork, and I think it was also good to see Vettel's sportsmanship after the race, congratulating Lewis Hamilton, and yeah, it was just good to see, and you really saw the respect between the two drivers, and yeah, as I mentioned before, he's definitely now in that league of those three drivers. But as you mentioned before, yeah, he showed his class in many races this season, and also over his career. But
yeah, I think one person more than anyone that needs to get a shout out through all of this, for being there, is definitely Will Smith. You know, on the radio, he told Hamilton,
what?
Will Smith, on the radio, he told Hamilton, that's how you drive, that's how I taught you to drive. You know, all the credit has to go to Will Smith for this one, for Hamilton winning his fifth championship.
Actually, I heard that message wasn't even broadcasted to Lewis Hamilton.
No,
is that correct?
It was a pre-recorded video.
Yeah. It's what the hell? So it was just for the TV audience, right?
Yeah, it's on Reddit. You can go on Reddit and yeah, you can see the video of Will Smith talking. And for some reason, they decided to put it into a radio message. Not the greatest idea. It's kind of a pretty cringy thing to do. I mean, it wasn't as bad as Hamilton's team radio from last year when they got Neymar to talk over.
Oh, God.
But I mean, yeah, still it wasn't. It was quite funny, but totally unnecessary. But you know, absolutely. Will Smith said it himself, he taught Lewis how to drive like this. So yeah, all credit goes to him, in my opinion.
Well, that was a worthy interruption from you.
It was a very important point from the Grand Prix, I think.
Yeah. Okay, but maybe let's move on to some a little bit more important moments from the GP. Red Bull really showing a great pace from Friday onwards. Verstappen topped all practice sessions. Then in qualifying, Ricciardo got pole. But yeah, it looked so promising for Red Bull and the start already. And to be honest, I was really looking forward to the race after Saturday. I mean, of course, I'm always excited when Formula One is on, but with the Mexican GP, I was even a little bit more excited. I don't know, because maybe we had the two Red Bulls at the front and we knew that three teams are capable of winning the race. So, yeah, I was really excited before the race. And already that start was really good. I mean, Verstappen, great launch off the line. Hamilton and Vettel behind. Yeah, and it was... It kind of looked like Vettel was even more cautious than Hamilton into turn one. Did you see the replay?
Yeah, I mean, Vettel seemed to just get a bit boxed in between the Red Bull and I can't remember which Red Bull it was and Hamilton. So it kind of looked like he really had nowhere to go to attack. And I think if Vettel had the room, he could have gone by into the lead. But yeah, I mean. Ricciardo had a dreadful start, dropped down into P3, and I actually didn't even recognize that off the start, because my eyes immediately shifted to Hamilton when I saw him bolt off the line. I didn't even realize that Verstappen had taken the lead until after the first corner, because I didn't realize the good start that he had, because Hamilton's start behind, I mean, his second phase was okay, but his initial launch was great. And for Ricciardo, not great to, after a great Saturday, getting the better of Verstappen by the smallest of margins. And yeah, I'm sure he was pretty disappointed to drop down into P3. But Hamilton, I'm sure, after getting himself into second place, which was, you know, more than enough to secure the championship, and getting through that first sequence of corners undamaged, I'm sure he was perhaps a little bit more relaxed after that.
Yeah, and for Daniel Ricciardo, things went downhill basically completely after Saturday and his pole position. First of all, the not optimal start, and then strategy wasn't really working out, got overtaken by Sebastian Vettel first, and yeah, then, well, after Vettel pitted again, it was really hard to watch, to see another technical DNF for Daniel Ricciardo at the pretty late stages of the Grand Prix. And you really had to feel for him, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was driving really well. He was holding off Vettel quite well. I mean, I know the traffic. Well, I mean, traffic seemed to be really the story of Ricciardo's race. He always seemed to be in traffic. It just kept coming at him, which I think the first time when Vettel overtook him, it definitely hampered him. Vettel was able to get past, but well,
yeah, and he always caught the traffic in the fast chicanes, and also then in the stadium section where the backmarkers try to stay ahead before the stadium so that they can nick the DRS off Danny Ricciardo then and get a little bit of time back or something. But yeah, it wasn't really ideal for Ricciardo.
No, it wasn't. And and then in the second phase, that second phase when he was getting the traffic and Vettel was coming at him again after he had made his second stop, it sort of seemed like the traffic then was helping him. He seemed to be getting a slipstream in all the right spots, and then we saw towards the end of his lap a big puff of smoke, and yeah, I mean, just seeing him pull over like that was really, really really, well, it was frustrating, to be honest, because, I mean, he hasn't had a podium since Monaco, since his victory in Monaco, and his only other podium this year came at China, so his two victories, it's crazy to think that that he's only been on the podium twice this year, and they've both been victories. And you know, it was
such a good race. I mean, he was in P2, and what a great performance on those old used tires. You know, who knows, maybe he could have stayed ahead of Sebastian Vettel. I don't know, it would have been difficult, but it was a good position to be in.
Yeah, and he, even if he had been overtaken, he still would have come home in third. And you know, you heard him after the race, he didn't even sound angry. He said himself, he's fed up. He said that Gasly can drive the car in Brazil and Abu Dhabi if he wants. And it's hard to blame him. I think I seen a stat yesterday. I think Ricciardo has the same amount of DNFs this year as something like Bottas has had in the turbo hybrid era or something like that.
I read in his whole career.
Yeah. Oh, in his whole career, right? Yeah. So yeah. I mean, it was. It's
funnily enough, that's exactly what I wanted to say after you finished.
yeah. But I mean, you had the usual people on social media slamming it as a Red Bull conspiracies, but you know, it's horrible to see. I think the issue was to do with the clutch, so it wasn't a Renault issue. It was a Red Bull problem. So yeah, I mean, just really heartbreaking for him. I'm sure even if he had finished third, he wouldn't have been delighted. Obviously, he wanted that win after getting pole position, but it would have been 100 times better than ending your race early and getting the motorcycle back to your garage.
Just a thought there. Does Ricciardo still have Mark Webber's side of the garage preparing his car?
Yeah, not a great start from him, if that's what you're getting at.
No, not in terms of starts, but also in terms of reliability.
Yeah, I mean, I guess number two driver, yeah. But yeah, I know. I mean, Ricciardo, he's it's a shame because he, you know, in the early stages of his Red Bull career, everything looked so wonderful and fantastic. He was on top of Sebastian Vettel. He was winning a couple of races. And yeah, I mean, since then, since Verstappen joined, really, he's had a tough match against him, but it's been really intriguing. And this year, it's just gone. Yeah, after the Monaco victory, it's just gone completely downhill. And I'm sure, well, for... In respect to both Red Bull and Ricciardo, I'd like to see the partnership end on a high, and I hope it doesn't get sour. I don't think it will get sour in the last couple of races, but I hope that Ricciardo is able to enjoy his last couple of races with Red Bull before he leaves to Renault, rather than you know, retire like this and have these reliability problems.
Yeah, and I mean, beside that story, we had many little battles on track. We saw Hartley and Ocon fighting on track. We saw again another very unlucky Fernando Alonso retiring from the race very early in the race. But I mean, looking at the grand scheme, the big picture here, for me, the most outstanding thing from the Mexican GP was just the gaps between the cars. They were so massively big. I think I can remember last year we had kind of the same thing, but Hülkenberg in P6 two laps down, Bottas lapped in P5, although he did made another pit stop, but those gaps were huge, right?
Yeah, they were. It's kind of, you know,
even with the short track, I mean, we know with shorter tracks they can lap cars easier, but then again, with a shorter lap time, the gaps shouldn't be that big.
Yeah, I mean, these gaps are, they've been very big throughout the whole 2018 season. Not as big as this, of course. I don't know, you know, what the particular reason was. I'm sure maybe if we had a safety car during the race, it would have, you know, made it a lot closer, but yeah, I mean, the gaps were huge, and you don't really, well, the biggest issue is the gap between the gap between the top three teams and the midfield, and that's been the story the whole season in that area. There's been a huge, huge gap, but this weekend it was really, really highlighted. It was much bigger than I think we've ever seen it.
I think sometime in the middle of the race, I read a tweet saying that the top four guys were like 4 seconds quicker than the midfield per lap.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if that considers the battles that were going on, or I don't know, but yeah, definitely, it's not really what we want to see. We want to see as many cars as possible racing at the front, and I know we're never going to get a 10-team fight for the championship, but I mean, the gaps are pretty huge, and I don't think that's a knee-jerk comment to make after just one race, because they've been huge pretty much all season, ever since really the I guess the turn of the hybrid era. You had Mercedes stretching out in front, but it kind of really seems to have been really, really highlighted in 2017 with the new aero regulations, but it's just been kind of growing and growing for the past couple of years. But yeah, I mean, it was huge, the gaps between the top and the midfield teams.
Yep. So, in terms of the whole race, how did you enjoy it? Or how would you rate it, to speak of our race rating? Did you enjoy it more than an average Formula One race, or was it more like kind of okay-ish?
Yeah, I mean, it was good. It wasn't amazing. We had some differing strategies. Of course, tires was a big talking point from the weekend. But we had Max Verstappen dominate once again, as he did last year. It was kind of a very similar drive to last year. He just got out in front and never looked back.
Where did Ricardo actually finish last year? Do you know that?
Ricardo last year? Yeah. I will check that in 1 second, but
he didn't retire, did he?
I don't know, but I mean, the race itself was pretty good. We had some battles in the midfield, like you said, between Hartley and Ocon, and Ocon and Gasly as well was another battle. But I'm inclined to go with maybe let's go with a 6 out of 10. I mean, we had some differing strategies. We had some exciting battles in the midfield, at least. So, actually, last year, Ricciardo did retire from the Mexican Grand Prix.
Amazing.
On lap 5 with a turbo issue.
Come on.
So, yeah.
I was only joking, but yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. But yeah,
and by the way, good job speaking and looking that up. I'm not able to do anything while speaking. Okay.
Very good multitasker. So, yeah, 6 out of 10 I think is fair enough. Like I said, we had a couple of differing strategies. That battle between Vettel and Ricciardo, we had that for a number of laps, and even before Vettel made his second pit stop, we had a battle there. So it's a shame we didn't get to see that battle out completely. But I'm gonna go with a 6.
Yeah, interesting. And as usual, I'm just one point below that. For me, as you said, it was a race with many little battles, and we had the different strategies going on. Some people on a one-stop strategy, some on a two-stop strategy. And I mean, generally, I have to say it was good that the Hypersoft tire wasn't really a tire you wanted to race on, and even the Ultrasofts didn't have the longest lifespan, which made it quite interesting. We saw some early stops from, I think, the Saubers on the Hypersoft tires, and different strategies throughout the field, even Force India not electing to do Q3 anyway, so going out on Supersofts in the qualifying. And I think it was good in terms of strategies. In terms of the outright excitement, Verstappen just took off and took the race win. Wasn't too exciting in the end. So for me, it was an average Formula One race. Still, I enjoyed watching it. So for me, it is a 5. In terms of drive of the weekend, I mean, I can basically directly go to that. For me, it was Max Verstappen. Definitely good qualifying performance, even though he missed out by 26 hundredths, I think, to Danny Ricciardo. But good qualifying performance. Very, very, very good performance in the race. I mean, the gap he pulled on the Mercedes and basically also on whoever was behind him was just incredibly good. Also managing his tires when everyone else struggled. Yeah, very good performance, and I just have to go with Max Verstappen.
Yeah, I'm really conflicted, to be honest. I don't really know who to go for. I mean, there was some great drives. One driver that I loved watching this weekend was Brendan Hartley. He was so feisty. He was so aggressive on the radio. I loved it because he knows that he's fighting for it. Usually Hartley, you know, is the calm, collect guy. This weekend he was complaining left, right and centre about other drivers, and I loved it because he knows he's fighting for his F1 career.
Yes, it seems like he switched his personality from, like, I don't know, one or two races ago. Like, I can even remember, like, in his interviews after the Japanese GP or something, he was really, like, aggressive and kind of saying things differently.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I mean, his teammate Gasly didn't qualify because he was taking a penalty, and he somehow managed to get points. Both Saubers got on the points and both qualified inside the top 10. Van Dorn got his first finish since Azerbaijan.
Just wanted to mention that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was once again qualified by his teammate, but yeah, to get his first points, great for him. Hülkenberg did pretty much the best he could do. He qualified at the head of the midfield, and he finished the race at the head of the midfield. But yeah, I think I'm gonna go with Verstappen, despite the fact, like you said, he was unqualified in the race. He demonstrated once again why he deserves his seat at the top, even though we can't really use his age as an excuse anymore, because there's drivers on the grid that are much younger than him now. So, but yeah, I mean, it just demonstrated, I think, what he could do if he was in a top car. So yeah, I'm gonna go like you with Max Verstappen.
Interesting, good. So before we end this week's episode, maybe let's discuss two announcements we had. Well, for one announcement we had already not last week but 2 weeks ago, but we didn't cover it in our last week's episode because there was so much other stuff going on. Sergio Perez, of course, was confirmed by Force India for 2019, and I mean, now it's fitting that we are discussing the Mexican GP and also discussing Perez as a Mexican driver to drive for Force India in 2019, probably, or 90% certain, partnering Lance Stroll there. We're waiting for that announcement, and we're expecting that announcement to happen, I don't know, maybe at the end of the season. But yeah, the more recent announcement, which was also for me, or and I guess for you as well, Fergal, a bit surprising, was that the Rich Energy company, we talked about them already without mentioning the name when the Hall Force India story was going on. They were always kind of like, yeah, we want to buy the team and blah blah blah, and they have this kind of I mean, you shouldn't judge people by their appearance, but they're a weird-looking CEO doing some
you
interviews.
You can't say that.
What?
You can't say that.
Can't I? Okay, well, we'll cut that out of our live recording.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean, yeah. Right? It's not the typical appearance of a CEO.
He has a magnificent beard. And great long hair is how I describe him. But you know, fair play to them, because like you said, we when they were kind of being talked about with Force India, we didn't even mention their name because we didn't want to give them publicity, because we thought that they were just you know, in it for the publicity. But here we are now, and yeah, I feel kind of bad for the way that we went about it all, because it shows that they were absolutely serious about getting interested, about getting involved in Formula One. And yeah, I mean, we seen in Austin that they were talking with Williams, that didn't work out for whatever reason. There's a few different stories on why it didn't quite work out, but apparently on on in Austin on the Sunday of the race, there was a verbal agreement between Williams and Rich Energy for a 2019 deal, and then was it the very next day or Tuesday they announced that they had signed with Haas, which came as a huge surprise to Williams. But you know, it's great. I think for Rich Energy, a new brand that I've never heard of before this, and I've never seen any of their products of.
Me neither.
Yeah, I don't think anybody has from what
no
I've seen.
No products in Germany.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've seen them on Amazon or eBay or something, but I mean, you'd really think for an energy drink company. I mean, I'm going to relate to Red Bull. Obviously, Red Bull is one of the biggest organizations in the world, but you know, everybody knows Red Bull. You walk into your local shop, you see see cans of Red Bull there. So it, you know, it's good to have a new brand get in Formula One in a big way. I'm very interested to see what livery they'll have next year, because Haas confirmed that they're going to have a brand new livery which will incorporate the Rich Energy colors, which are black and gold. So that could be pretty exciting. Hopefully they don't make a mess of it, but yeah, I mean, it's good, I think, for all parties involved. More money for Haas, and yeah, it's good exposure for Rich Energy, who up to this point I heavily doubted.
Yeah, I mean, how many energy drinks companies do we now have in Formula One? We have Red Bull, we have Monster, we've got isn't that Hype Energy thing on the Force India?
Are they
there?
Protein drinks or are they energy drinks?
I have no idea. I'm not the energy drinking guy, to be honest.
Mm. I think they are energy drinks, yeah.
So another company. So it seems like their target group is watching Formula One, it seems.
Yeah, actually, just a quick trivia here. I just searched it up. Hype Energy Drinks is it's been headed by Bertrand Gachot, who was a former Formula One driver since May 2000. I actually did not know that. So there you go. But yeah, I mean, yeah, seems like all the energy drink companies are wanting to get involved in Formula One.
Yeah, exciting times. I mean, we don't need an energy drink to do our next week's episode, but we are already hyped to do it. So yeah, join us again next week. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.